not of this world. Chapter 3. John chapter 3. And if you're, I see you're writing notes, some of you, you can put down alongside of that John 8 and 23, our beloved. John chapter 3. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you, 98 or 9% of you, have heard this verse quoted, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That has to do with our birth. Now I'll read another one in John while we're here. John chapter 19. Verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now, I'll say more about this later, but I'm calling this our bitterness. Another B. James, please. The other two are in James that I want to read. James chapter 1. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And chapter 3, the other one, chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There may be others, but these are things from above. I've never heard them put together before, and I've never put them together before myself. But I suppose my brother maybe put them together before. I don't know. I've never heard them put together. But I was thinking about this idea of from above. That's not just exactly the order. The order I gave them to you is not exactly the order I have them here. But first, anyway, the Lord Jesus said, I am from above. I am not of this world. And of course, immediately I thought of chapter 17, verse 16. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And then, linked with that, of course, you can hardly separate it, except a man be born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, it's wonderful to know that our beloved was from above, and even as he, we are not of this world. So we belong to above too. And I don't believe there's any such thing, let me say it right now, I don't believe there's any such thing as being so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you are. There was no more heavenly minded person that ever walked this earth than our blessed divine Lord. He was heavenly minded. He says, I'm from above, I'm not of this world. I'm from above. I'm not of this world. They are not of this world. Not the world, not this world. I looked it up, I thought it was this world. You know, it's easy to misquote, but I like to quote the scriptures the way they are. They are not of the world. I am not of this world. Ye are from beneath.
He was said to the people in those days, ye are from beneath. I am from above. And I was saying yesterday, you know, about the loneliness of the Lord. This is why he didn't belong here. Brother Piercy was just telling us, you know, how we sing so lustily some of these things. And boy, I tell you, if we really stop to think what we're singing, I don't know if we'd sing. Just like a brother said, if we stop to think of what we say when we pray, we wouldn't do to have so many fancy prayers. We only realize if we had any assurance that God would answer our prayers, we wouldn't pray the same. Now, you think it's a little far-fetched. You just stop and think it over. The Lord Jesus was not of this world. And my brother and sister, you're not of this world. And that is why ever since I can remember anything in my Christian experience, I've heard preachers say, and I hope they keep saying it, if you're one of these people that's born from above, you're ruined for the world. You're ruined for the world. Why? There's something about you that cannot get along in this world. What do we sing? This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Yeah, beautiful isle somewhere. Boy, you know, is that a fact? You really believe it? Well, I dare you. Because don't forget the Lord Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what I was thinking? It doesn't hurt to be honest once in a while. A little bit easier after Brother Frank Pearson's been up here, a little bit easier for preachers to be honest. He kind of encourages us preachers to be honest. You know what I was thinking? When I was sitting there, right there listening to the preachers who had gone before, I thought to myself, boy, I would just like to offer a $10 bill to any of the young people under, under 25 years of age. Who, now listen, who between meetings, these meetings of this conference, and you know, just standing around here and there, any three of them that stood together, and for a whole 3 minutes, I got that down from what I thought I said, for a whole 3 minutes, we're talking about spiritual things, or what the preacher is. Talking with you, brother? No, I don't want that. I want three young people who were talking all by themselves. A little group, eh? That you talk by yourself. You know why? Well, you can't, you know, if you're walking by, you hear conversation. You know, we're not whispering each other's ear. And we're not snooping. But you can't help but hear, you know, passing words. What I mean, Christian, I'm referring back to what I said, you know, about singing, my treasures are laid up somewhere on the blue, somewhere beyond the blue. Well, where's your heart? You know, you can't help but talk about where your heart is. When a man's in love, you know, or a girl's in love, you can do what you like. Her thoughts will go back to her lover. She'll go back to her plans. Why? The treasure. Now, I'm not setting that over against spiritual thought, but I'm talking about the idea. About the idea of belonging not to this world. Now, if there's anybody who's sympathetic toward young people, well, I feel like not finishing the sentence because I don't like preachers bragging or, but, you know, Christian,
I don't want to be hard on anybody.
If I'm hard on you, God will be hard on me, and I know what I'm talking about. Preachers can't afford to be hard on the Christian.
And I have a heart for young people. I tell you, I read a worldly book. I mean, it wasn't a Christian author. 500 pages, too. And I don't know when I ever felt so sympathetic for our young people, like after I read that book. The world is just written by a man of the world, but describing the kind of world we're living in. I have been different. I've had a different feeling toward our young people ever since I read that book. You don't need to read it. But I tell you, you're up against them. You know why? Because the devil's up against you. And he's using things. And you don't realize what's happening. I'll tell you something. Never thought of it since I come to conference. Never entered my mind. It just comes to me right now. And you suppose I don't say all I might have said. I want to tell you this. My nephew, Gordon Hanna, talking to him just recently. And he said, Uncle Arnold, did I tell you about the 5 days I had down in Toronto? No. But he didn't tell me anything about it. He says, the Canadian government paid my expenses, all expenses paid, for me to go to Toronto to a course, a crash course, 5 days, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on media and communication. That was the subject of the course, media and communication. 24 of the, across country, selection of young people, young businessmen and women. There were women among the young girls. All young business people. 24 from across Canada, BC to Nova Scotia. And they want to put them through this course. For their sake, for these young people's sake, and for the government's sake. Government of Canada, in cahoots with the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And he says, I wish it had been there. I wish you could have taken it. He said, you'll appreciate it. And they picked on different individuals of the 24 and used them as a guinea pig before the rest. And each one got picked on, so I mean, you know. And it was not to intimidate anybody, but just to show them something and to learn something themselves. And you know, they picked my nephew Gordon, they picked on him. They wanted to ask him about racial discrimination. That was the subject. And he said, well, as soon as they said it was going to be racial discrimination, I was ready for him, you know. And he said, he asked me a whole pile of questions, and I was, my back to the audience, they were looking at something that I couldn't see, they were looking at a TV screen, and on the screen was thrown the results of these questions that they were asked, this man was asking me. And he said, he never said a word about racial discrimination to me. Never said a word. And when it was all over, he says, thank you, Mr. Hanna, we appreciate that very much. And the crowd started snickering. And he said, well, what's the result, sir? He said, we've got your number as far as racial discrimination is concerned. He says, you're what we'd call a racist. He says, they never mentioned. But he said, the subject was racial discrimination. And each one of the questions that they asked me just barely touched the outside of the circle. And they went all these questions, and they just touched all the way around. And he said, do you know what they said in plain English? The news media. Newspapers, magazines, radio, TV. We know exactly how the public are thinking. And moreover, we can make the public think anything we want them to think and do or react any way we want them to react. The Canadian government and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation have admitted to 24 intelligent, capable young businessmen from across Canada, coast to coast, we are in absolute control of your mind and how you think. One of the brethren here yesterday, well, maybe it was Brother Pierce, I don't know, well, you remember me better than I do now at the moment, said about the man who said, doesn't read the newspaper? No, I didn't read the newspaper. Well, I want you to realize, Christian, and I'm saying this because of what I said about young people.
Your mind is being manipulated. And you don't even know. You haven't even caught on. Not just the young people, older ones too. And these 24 young people, with the brains from the Canadian government in these things, they want them to see. We're in control of the thinking of the public. And they don't even know, they haven't caught on. My brother and sister, I'm telling you that in public. As a Christian, as one of God's ministers responsible for your spiritual welfare. And that's what we brethren have to recognize. The world's got you. If you don't realize, you are not of this world. I heard that another brother in Ottawa, a representative of the Canadian government too, who's all over the world for the Canadian government. He told me something similar. I'm not going to, that's just another example of the same thing. They can make you think any way they want you to think. And they're manipulating your mind concerning morals. Oh, yes, they are. Just think whatever they want you to think. They can set the trend. They can set the trend. And it's being said. Not just they can, they're doing it. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And they're doing it. And it's for the absolute ruination of anything that stands for the person of Christ in this world. If you think, Christian, that you're a target of the devil, I want to tell you something that speaks well for you. You know why you're a target of the devil? Because you belong to Christ, and this world hates Christ. I've said it before, probably in a conference platform too. I, with these two ears, heard on the radio when I was waiting for the news to come on. Just in the last, I don't know what the subject was. I don't know who the man was, but he said this. The commentator said, what if Jesus Christ came back again? What would happen? And the man said, we crucify him again, only a lot quicker than we did the last time. I heard that with my own ears. This world hasn't changed, but it's building up. As my brother David said up at the Engelhard Conference, there's a frenzied, frantic activity of demonism in the world. And it's out, and it's against the Christian. They're against the Christian. They're against you, Christian. But I want to tell you something. You're from above. You have a nature that's from above. You've been born from above. The Lord Jesus was from above in a special way. But the nature that you have is a divine nature. And it's not of this world. It's not of this world. Well, whatever I don't say, I'm going to sit down for half hour. I would like to have said something, well, briefly. Every good gift is from above. I think most Christians believe that most gifts come from God, but that's not what the Bible says. It says every good gift is from above. I like John 3:27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Parents, God bless you. The little ones around. Those of you who are marrying, listen, children are from God. They're from God. You're giving God creatures to praise His name forever. They're from above, a gift from God. I'm not going to bother distinguishing between the good gifts and the perfect gifts. Some have said the good gifts are temporal and the perfect gifts are divine or spiritual gifts. They're all from above. A man can receive nothing except to be given from heaven. My dear brother, God gave you your wife from above. My dear sister, God gave you your husband from above. Your children are from above. Your daily food is from above. Everything you enjoy is from above. Your health is from above. Everything's from above. And cometh down. Everything's from above and cometh down. Cometh down. Isn't that nice? I like that. Every good gift from above and cometh down. Cometh down, like the dew and the grass, to bless us. God has blessed me in many ways more than He's blessed many, and I have no idea why. I've been blessed with numerous things that many of my brothers and sisters have not been blessed with. And there's no thanks to me. It's impossible. There's no explanation for it. But here it is.
From above. You know, it's wonderful to be a grateful. Brother Peterson's talking about a happy Christian. I tell you, I'd like to meet a happy Christian. And I'll tell you something, a happy Christian is a grateful Christian, is a thankful Christian. And you're not a happy Christian unless you're a thankful Christian. And a critical Christian, a griping Christian, a grouchy Christian, is never a happy Christian. And I just ease away from them. And you're specifically Christian. And I just stay away from it. Because I always have some fault to find with somebody. I'm scared of them. But I'm never scared to curse a thankful Christian, because they're happy Christians. They appreciate every good gift that's from above. All from above. From the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The wisdom that is from above. The wisdom. There's a wisdom from above. And it belongs to the people who are from above. Given us by the Lord who is from above, who is not of this world. I was thinking of that. I was thinking of those words, not of this world. You know, there's two texts hanging up in our living room. And I sat there today, and I can think of the one of them. For the life of me, I can't think of that other text. Sitting right on our living room, one above the other, both the same side, same kind of perimeter. And one of them is, "Be still and know that I am God." For the life of me, I can't think of what that other text is. And we've got other texts around the house, and all the rooms, I think, in the house, we've got texts of some kind, or other. I'm sure I couldn't tell you half of them, what they are. But you know, I was wondering, maybe it'd be good if we had a great text like this, not of this world. And I lost. I mean, if we had it on the living room wall, and on the dining room wall, and on the kitchen room wall, and on the bedroom wall, and on the bathroom wall, and on the family room wall, and on the basement wall, you know? It's the continual wearing, the washing that wears away the stone. And it's the continual hammering that cracks the rock. Maybe that would be better than have different, you know, texts all over the place, different sizes and shapes and pretty, some brass, some clay, some paper, and some what have you, you know? Just one hammering away. It might, maybe it would do something. I don't know, just an idea. Not of this world. 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 That's what Brother Peter, I'm quoting Brother Peter, that's what he's talking about, Norman Vincent Peale there. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." But brothers and sisters, here we are, creatures from above who belong up there. And they're like that, in a flash, in a split atom. We're going to be changed, and we're going to find ourselves there where we belong. Because we don't belong here. We don't belong here. You're talking about driving in your stakes. We got them driven in, obviously, with some of the young Christians there last week up in Mount Sullivan Island. They had some tents there and had the stakes driven in, and it was there the day they pulled them up. Wow, it was far easier to put them in than it was to pull them up, I'm telling you. They were breaking wood and things and trying to get those stakes up. Little by little they hammered them in, but you think they could get them up? Well, they did finally, but they had to dig and had to pull and devise this. It wouldn't work, so they tried something else to get those stakes up. Well, let's not drive them in to start with. And if you want to drive your stakes in, drive your stakes into where you belong. He builds low who builds beneath the stars. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our bitterness. That's our blessings, eh? You give them our behavior, our wisdom from above. Oh, I wish I could have said something about that, but I don't have to. First, pure, pure, all Christian pure. From above, what's from above is pure. And you belong up here. Keep thyself pure. The Lord help us. We're not of this world. Everything that belongs to us is from above. From above. Because our life is from above. And blessed be God. We'll soon be there. God bless you.